Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. I'm Kristen. Hi, Neil.
Hello.
And today, yes, we are on the air on Monday, and we'll be doing our next show this week on Wednesday, then we'll be off on Friday. So there was a little adjustment in the schedule. So don't call us and ask why we're not on the air. Sometimes that happens.
We'll be back on our regular schedule
the following week. So just on Friday, we won't be doing a show. That's why we're doing our show today. And we are discussing vibrational past lives today. But I think we're going to take a caller first. Right, Neil?
Okay,
so that's what we're going to do. And 914-338-0164 is the number to call. Press 1 if you'd like to speak with us. There's a caller from 602 area code. Hello.
Oh, hi, this is Karen.
I'm sorry, what's your name?
Karen.
Karen?
No, S. Sharon. I'm Sharon.
Oh, Sharon.
Yeah, I'm in Arizona.
Okay. How Sharon from Arizona.
Yeah.
Okay. What's your birth date?
March 15th, 1944.
All right. And Sharon, what's your question?
Oh, just general, you know, this year, you know, and what my health and stuff like that, just regular stuff.
Regular stuff. Okay.
What do you know, see for me?
7 years. What's how old is she? She's 73.
Yeah, I'm 73
years old.
I can't believe I'm 73.
Well, we all, I think, go through that experience of not being able to believe how old we are each year. I'm sorry, what did you say?
It's just funny. You wake up and you go, oh my gosh, where'd the years go? What happened?
Yeah, and time does go faster. I remember as a kid, gosh, it felt like, you know, like a summer felt like eons. But now time moves so rapidly. It's like.
Things are going fast.
Are you on a speakerphone, Sharon, or?
Yeah, you want me to turn off the speaker?
Yeah, if you could get on the
phone. Is that better?
Yeah, it's better. We're losing like half of what you're saying, so that's no
good. All right, honey. I turned off the speaker. I'm sorry.
No, don't apologize. I mean, it's just fine.
Yeah, well, it probably sounds better now.
Yeah, it sounds better. Well, I didn't even work out her birthday. What's her master number?
March 15th to 44. I just wanted to see if you...
What were you saying, Sharon?
Did you see any new grandkids or great-grandkids?
Do
you see a new boyfriend coming into my life?
Oh, you're looking for a man? I'm just doing
No,
a little...
I'm not looking. I'm not looking, honey. I really do like living alone, but I mean, friends. I'll just say friends.
A friend.
I like friends.
You like friends. Okay. Well, I mean, it's possible. We'll get more into it in just a sec. But Sharon, in 1971, there should have been something that happened in your life that was significant. What?
I had a son in 71.
1971.
I had a son. He's He's in the military. He's over in Germany. He's a good kid.
Oh.
He's been in five conflicts.
Oh, so wow.
I had him. I had three other children by my first husband. All my kids are grown up. I got like 8 grandkids, 10, 11 great grandkids.
Oh, how nice. Well, it's nice to have a big
family.
Isn't
it nice?
Family person.
Yeah.
If you're a family person, it's a good thing.
I'm a family. Mm-hmm.
So she just had a change and at 72, too. Because your life goes in cycles of 9, Sharon, from birth to death.
Yeah, I already knew that.
Did you see anything for her in terms of love, Neil?
Sharon, you do have a daughter, don't you?
Yeah, I have a daughter, yes. One daughter.
You may yet have one more grandchild.
Oh, really? My daughter.
From your daughter. How old is your daughter right now?
My daughter's not going to have any, her daughter. See, it'll be a great grandbaby. Yeah. My daughter's 57.
She's probably having no more children, but it's probably the daughter
side.
Allie, I think she's already pregnant.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm just guessing.
How old is she?
She's like 21 or 2 or something like that.
Does she have a boyfriend or a husband?
Yeah, she has a boyfriend.
Yeah.
She don't have a husband.
That's where you'll get the next grandchild, great-grandchild.
Okay, yeah. Okay, thanks. That's nice. Hey, you guys are good.
What do you think about a relationship for Sharon?
Well, let me ask you something, Sharon.
Yeah.
Have you had or do you have any problems in your knees, any pain?
No. No, you know what? I don't take no medication, and I just take vitamins, and I don't have no health issues. But I do, you know, I'm getting older. I'm 73. I have shoulder pain. I think I'm on the computer too much.
Oh.
When you sit in that chair, your shoulders hurt.
Yeah. Sharon. Have you ever in your life had a leg injury? Who has the leg injury in your family?
No, I don't have no leg injuries.
Anybody in your family, Sharon? Sharon?
Shane, when he was in the, he has his disc in his back, and he goes to the chiropractor. I don't know anybody else has. Other son has his legs hurt. He's 50. He's 53. He has his legs hurt all the time.
Yeah, that's where we're going here. So your son is 53. What did he do to hurt his leg?
Yeah, his name is Brett. He was born June 25th of 63. His legs hurt all the time. I'm concerned about his legs.
Oh, so that's why Neil's mentioning the legs.
He's a truck driver, and he's sitting in a truck all the time, and his legs, he's got, I don't know, I guess a sciatic nerve or something. I don't know.
That happens.
Okay, I just wanted to know, because I'm trying to get the vibe of your family.
Okay,
so.
It's Brett. It's Brett. He's 53.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's who you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, okay, so here's the thing. I think you'll be a great grandmother.
She already is, but
I have 11 great grandkids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So another one's going to be added.
Yeah, you're going to have another one to be your great grandmother.
Wow, that's
maybe
enough.
I think it's coming from Allie.
Allie's going to have a baby. I hope Mariah doesn't. Mariah's 17, and she's got a baby that's a year old. And I hope she don't have no more kids. Yeah, it's Mariah. She's 17. She's my granddaughter. She's Brett's daughter, and I hope she don't have no kids.
You know,
she's not married.
Point, At this point, Sharon, your family could populate a small country.
But I just hope Mariah don't have no more kids, because she's still in school and she's 17. She's got a 1-year-old baby. My daughter-in-law is taking care of the baby so she can go to school. But I hope she doesn't get pregnant again.
Well, you know, I think you have an energy in your life. A 9 mm-hmm. is a very resilient human being. They just keep coming back and coming back and coming back, very strong. And
that's me.
Yeah, that's you. You have 2 4s in your year,
which
demonstrates you could possibly experience another relationship.
That's what I was going to ask. Between
maybe now and within two.
Didn't say anything.
Within 2 years. Now, it could be anywhere between 73 and 75. You're going to meet somebody. Right. This person, he's a little bit, he likes to dance. He's a dancer.
Oh, okay.
He likes to go dancing. I don't know if you do.
Well, I sure help. You know, I always tell everybody they either want a nurse or your purse. And I don't have a purse, and I don't want to be a nurse.
So,
because I'm 73, I don't want to be a nurse for some guy.
Well, if he's a dancer, he's probably in.
I hope he's in good health. A lot of guys my age, they're all sick.
They're all sick.
They're diabetic, or they want to show me all their medicine. I said, I don't want to know what your medicine is.
Well, that's not exactly a prelude to romance, the medicine cabinet.
Yeah, you start talking to someone, they show you all their medicine. I said, I don't want to know your medicine.
Yeah. Well, you know, this guy is not sick.
He's not sick.
He's spry. He has a good step. He likes to dance. He likes to do things.
Nice.
Do you like to dance?
Friend.
Sharon?
I just want a friend to go out and go out somewhere like that and then go out to eat or a movie, but I don't want to live with nobody.
Well, you're not going
to. You don't have to.
You're not going to live.
I just want a guy friend like that. Well, that's good. That's good news. I'll look forward to that.
Well, the proper is you don't want to live with anyone. If you want to live with nobody, you're going to be living with somebody. So.
I like my freedom. I like to live alone. I've been alone a long time. I like it.
Well, it sounds like you're very independent.
I'm very independent. And that's why I've had relationships, been married, but, you know, when they start wanting to blow your time and your money, then I'm gone.
Yeah. Well,
I don't like them to say, you know, control me.
No, this guy isn't into that. This guy would be the kind of guy that would call you up, ask if you want to go out, no strings attached, but would be your entertainment companion. He would like to come out.
That's what I want.
Well, that's what we see coming. It could be, I don't know, it could be during your 30, you could be while you're 30, 73. 73 is actually a positive age for you. You're coming up, you're in your 8th cycle of life, and your year is split up as an 8. So this this is probably maybe the time when you'll be meeting this person and enjoying your life and having a good time. I'll tell you one thing, this person does, or he used to like to go to the river. He was active.
Yeah.
River in terms of camping,
going fishing, boating.
Oh, okay.
But he doesn't do that anymore so much.
I used to do all that stuff and plant gardens and all. I did race cars, I did all that. Been there, done that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're looking to relax a little bit with the person you're
I have. You guys are pretty good. I'm really surprised, because I've talked to other people and you guys hit it pretty good.
Well, good.
Well, glad to hear it. And stay connected to us, Sharon. We've got to move on to the next caller, but we appreciate your call. And
yeah, thank you. Oh, bless your hearts. Bless your hearts.
Bless your heart, too. Thank you so much for calling.
Okay. All right.
Okay, take care.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay. 828, she was a character. I liked her.
Yeah.
I mean,
lively.
And, okay, I'm having a little problem here bringing on callers. 828, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
This
is my first time calling. My name is Candace.
Hi, Candace.
Hi.
How do you spell your name?
N-D-I-C-E.
Okay. Okay. And where are you calling from?
I'm from North Carolina.
Okay. Well, welcome to the show, Candace. What's your birth date?
I'm 10-5-83.
10-5-83?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And what brings you here today for your first time? 5-6.
Right. Well, I'm calling because I have a question regarding school. I'm trying to get in school, and I just wanted to know if that is a possibility for me to be getting in for school in August.
Okay.
What's your question?
She wants to know if she's going to be getting into the school, a school she's applied for. You've applied, obviously, to the school already, yes?
Right. I've applied to a few places, and I'm still applying. Like, because I just don't know, like, where to go, right?
Okay, but there's a specific school that you're interested in over the others?
There is, but I'm just, like, I'm not sure. Like, my confidence is just kind of shot a little bit, so.
Okay.
What's it shot?
Her confidence is kind of shot.
Who in your family, in your background, was involved in the medical field in some way?
Well, my mom owned a home health care business.
That would be, yeah, that's it.
Your mom owned a home health care. That's it. So that was your mother?
Yes.
Okay, so the connection
right.
we're making to answer your question about school, it's like getting the fish by the tail. We fished in a confirmation about you getting into school by looking at your energy and from there going to your mother, who apparently was self-employed and ran a business out of her home.
Right.
So,
well, it wasn't out of her home, but it was out of like
employed nurses to go to other people's homes, correct?
But did she ever do business? Did she ever conduct business from her home, even for a day or two?
I'm sure she did. Like
okay,
calling
that's
people
okay.
and things like that. Okay.
That's okay. It doesn't
matter.
But
it's healthcare was the vibration, right?
Yeah, home healthcare was the vibration.
Okay.
Now, I want to ask you something. Have you been doing any kind of writing with a W, W-R-I-T, lately? Have you been doing, working on any kind of
not
writing?
Not writing like a horse,
no.
But writing with pen.
Like journaling or like writing essays?
Anything would qualify in that category.
Okay. Well, I mean, I've been journaling, but that's just for like sanity reasons. And then for,
that's okay.
With applications and essays, I've been doing, you know, that.
You've been doing
writing.
Applications and essays. So there's been writing, both in your applications to schools and
right.
your personal life.
Right.
Okay. I'm feeling pretty, you know, here, we're feeling pretty confident that you are going to get into, there's two schools that I'm seeing running neck to neck. The one that you really like, you might not get into,
yeah.
but the second one that is still acceptable beyond measure, it's still acceptable, that's the one I'm seeing.
What is your field of study?
Law. I'm trying to get into law school.
Oh, law school.
Well, the law school, okay, so the law school is a significant area of writing. You do a lot of writing in law school. And so, and in practice, you do a lot of writing. So, let's see. You're 33 now.
Right.
So you're starting a little late.
Right. Like, I've started over started my life over. Like, I went through a divorce and all of that. Then I went back to school. And so I, you know, got my bachelor's. And so now I'm
good for you. So, I mean, a late start is better than no start at all.
So
right?
Here's what we got. The area of the age of 36, at the tail end of 36, you're going to be just, if you get accepted, what do you have, about 2 or 3 years?
3 years.
It's 3 years.
Graduating at 36.
So at 36, if all goes well, you graduate then, and you start, you're going to be practicing around 37, 38. But you will get it from the second school. The second school, what's your second school you have in mind? If you choose your first best and then the second one.
That's the thing. I don't really know what my second is, which is why I've kind of, like, I've just thrown, like, a fish out, like a hook out, and I'm waiting to see what bite, because I've literally started my life over, and I'm open to, I'm relocating. And so it's just a matter of where I get in and then weighing where to go.
So, Candace, what is your first school?
Atlanta, John Marshall.
Okay. And have you applied, are they all in the South, the schools you've applied to, or have you tried to, like, throw your line out further, so to speak?
Right. Like, so far it's been like Florida, Georgia. I think I've applied to a school in Illinois. And then I'm literally still in a process of doing applications. So I'll probably look at Texas. And I'm trying to think. Yeah, that's it.
How much schooling have you had? What's your grade point average?
Well, I have how much schooling? I got my bachelor's in sociology and my minor in political science. And that was last year. And my GPA is around
3.0. Okay. I mean, that's going to be, it's kind of a median
right.
grade point average. I mean, are these schools really competitive?
Right. That's why I've kind of I don't know where to go, because basically what happened is a long, long time ago, family situation happened and it kind of threw my grades down. So when I went back to school last year, I literally rebounded and made the dean's list, and then my average went up to a 3.0. But by the time you factor in, you know, when I wasn't doing so well, that's what brought it down, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, they don't care about that. What they care about is your grade point average and their requirements. They don't care about your stories. Mm-hmm. So, you have to go to you're applying for to a university that will accept that you can fit into, at least in terms of grade point average. Don't, you know, if you're setting your expectations too high, it's not going to be realistic. So there, Georgia rings a little bit of a vibe for me. Do you know what the requirements are for the school in Georgia?
It's like a holistic approach. And most of the schools that I've applied is a holistic approach. It's like they look at not just your scores and your GPA, but then they look at your life experience, whether you're a traditional student, non-traditional, like they look at all of that.
Uh-huh. Well, is that might be more conducive to your situation if they look at it more holistically than specifically, because specifically you're going to be you're going to be in a disadvantage because your grade point average isn't outstanding. It's passable, but it isn't outstanding.
Yes.
And you have a, you know, sociology and political science. Your background is a little bit off on the side for law, but it's still, you know, I mean, they'll look at all that. And, but what we're basically looking at, what you want to do is get your degree. First of all, get accepted somewhere and just take appreciation in where you get to be accepted. But it might be, you know, to me right now, the feeling is either Georgia or Florida. But don't, you know, I mean, that could change, Candace. But that's where it seems to be. Do you have two siblings?
I do.
Uh-huh. Well, that's kind of a confirmation in our way of trying to figure out, you know, quickly if what we're saying might be acceptable.
Right. So that's a validation. That's what's called a validation,
right.
Candace. So you do. So that means one of the two schools, hopefully.
You know, in your approach, you have to, you certainly don't want to highlight how much trouble you've had. What you want to do is build up your image, because you're in your dialogue, you're too indecisive. You just to us, in fact. You know, I don't really know.
Yeah, I am.
Yeah, don't do that. That's not a
okay.
good sign. And if you're going to be an attorney, you want to be direct. So you want to apply to these universities with a full measure of confidence. Don't stress what you've gone through or how hard it is. You know, you want to do your highlight yourself. Elaborate.
Sometimes I, you know, probably in Candace's mind, I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, Candace, but sometimes, you know, a story of triumph over adversity can be appealing to certain people that are making those kinds of decisions. But in her case, she needs to be that's not what she should bring into the process.
No, you didn't okay. fall off a Matterhorn and go into a coma and come out alive and you're, mm-hmm. and, you know, you're a real fighter. Your drama is...
Well, maybe she did. I didn't get to that.
Your drama is, you know, you had a tough family upbringing. You had some family problems. They're going to say, so what? If that was too much of a hassle for you and you had to get back on your feet, you know, they want to look for excellence. That's
right, because if you're not able to get through those kinds of challenges, how can you make it through law school? They'll say, well, you know, you could fail.
Yeah.
So
don't do that.
Right.
Just embellish on your positive gifts, why you want to go into the law, what it means to you, how much you are willing to apply yourself. They might question, why are you starting at this age? Well, don't say you had trouble. Just say you were pursuing, you found at this age that the law is really your calling. It's really your calling. Say that.
Though I don't know. I mean, she's already applied, unfortunately. So she's done her essays and all that. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Right.
Candace. Do they call you for, I don't remember how college works. They don't call you for interviews, do they? No.
No. Well,
they don't interview prospective students.
Right. Some schools do have like the interview approach. Like I know a couple schools in North Carolina that I'm applying to, they do, you know, call in for interviews. But
perfect. So that's how you want to sell yourself. Go ahead.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, because it's North Carolina wasn't a school that. North Carolina is what? That's where you live. But it wasn't a school that you mentioned.
Right. See, I really didn't really want to be in North Carolina. Like, I was looking to relocate and kind of start over somewhere else.
I don't see you in North Carolina. What happened at the age of 27?
Yeah, we didn't ask her.
That's when my ex-husband and I separated. He left.
Okay. So your life is on a journey of rebirthing, And it's 27, you got rid of your husband, you went your separate ways. From 27 to 36, you're going through your next cycle. At 36, you should graduate. From 36 to 45, you'll be deep in practice. From 45 to 54, you'll still be deep in practice if the world's still around. And then you can decide what to do after that. But this is what we're determining is your journey. So you're 27, you got rid of some karma. Why do I see it? Well, I won't get into that on the air. I'm not going to mention it.
What?
No, I'm not going to say it.
Okay. All right.
So, Candace, to answer your question, you're probably, sitting there thinking, God, I'm going to call up a psychic radio show, find out if I'm going to get into a school. Yeah, we see that. But you've got to, your journey is, your number is 105, the 0 and the 1, it's trouble in family history. So we see that pretty significantly. What you want to do is, your approach to law has to start now. I mean, when did you decide you wanted to go into law?
Honestly, it's something that I've always wanted to do. But, and I know you said don't mention, what you've been through and to play up your strengths. But, honestly, that has been part of my story is that I did get deterred for a long time, going into college at 17, 18, everything was going good. And then I got derailed and, then I decided to go back later on in life. So, I mean, that's just, but my plan has always been, that's just something I've always wanted to do. But as I've gotten older and matured and gone through life experiences, it's become more clear.
Right. But, as we were saying earlier, the life experience is probably not a significant enough thing to mention in terms of playing your strengths up. I mean,
and not only that, but, be careful when you say something you always want to do when you have a degree in sociology and a minor in political science, unless you're applying that to being a civil law.
Well, I wanted to go into public interest, and sociology kind of plays into public interest. And I know there are tons of lawyers that major in anything, but it's just when it comes to groups and social issues, that's just something I've always been interested in.
Okay, then put yourself as an advocate for social justice and activating laws and procedures and protecting.
Yeah, you want to make the bachelor's degree work for you and your minor, what you minored in, what you majored in, and tie that into what you're doing in law. So that's good. But okay.
We're trying not to be vocational counsel here for you, but we're
giving
everything.
Thank y'all for
grammar lessons.
Thank you.
We have a food service too,
and a pool service.
But we're trying to put out in our dialogue a vibrational, vibrational sort of approach to maybe helping you get over the wall there and make it in. So anyways, to answer your question, we're chit-chatting too much. We think you're going to get in. It might be Florida. It might be Georgia. Don't quote us on that entirely. The main thing is you're going to be getting in, and you should be graduating at 36.
And Candace, let us know where you get in. We'd like to hear from you.
I definitely will. And I would definitely love a private session. So I'm going to have to, do you have a contact, something I could contact you?
Yeah. 562. Do you have a pen?
Okay. Yeah. Hold on 1 second. I'm sorry.
And can't, that's okay. Well, while you're getting your pen, I can also let you know that the number is on our Blog Talk Radio page in the text of the show. So you'll see the phone number there.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But
I can find it there then. And
I'll give it to you too. 562-596-7818. It's also on our Facebook. So you can find it in a couple of places. Oh, there's a neilbakerpsychic.com. You can find it there. It's kind of a simple website, but the number's there, and that should help you get in touch with us.
Okay. Well, thank you so very much for your constructive criticism. I would definitely take everything you said.
Thank you so much, Candace. Good luck, and we look forward to talking to you again and hearing what transpires in your journey here. Thank you so much. Okay, and speaking of vibrational past lives.
Our topic.
Yes.
Vibrational past lives.
And by the way, before we get into that, sorry, something I also forgot to say. Today we're doing a psychologist hour. We're ending at 50 minutes because we've got an appointment at 10.
Oh.
So I want to let everybody know that we're going to be ending the show a little early.
Okay.
50-minute hour. I think I like those.
50 minutes. How much time do we have?
So if it's a 50-minute hour, we have about 13 minutes for a topic.
13 minutes.
Yeah.
Vibrational, what's the topic, vibrational? Where are we? Are we in Belgium?
Funny you should say that. I'll tell you why later. Okay, we're here in California, and we're discussing vibrational past lives. But we could be, who knows where we are?
Well, if it's Tuesday, it's Belgium. If it's Monday, it's where we are. Okay, so anyway, vibration. The reason we talk about vibrational past lives is because, first of all, the element of past lives is something that concerns our soul journey. And since our souls, if we even ascribe to this belief, since our souls are in our bodies inhabit our souls, that our souls are inhabited by our bodies and they're in there, we have to assume that that soul has a history. Now, that soul is also tucked into this lifetime. So there's two things going on. There's the soul in connection to this lifetime,
and
the soul in connection to previous lifetimes. Not to mention the astral realm.
Exactly.
Where, in between lifetimes, you're all over the map. You're everywhere. When the vibrational sensation of a past life happens, we start to examine the common words like déjà vu. You feel something. You can feel something like, gee, it seems like this has happened before, and you relate it to the life you're in. But anything you experience in the life you're in still has a root, a tail going back into past life zones. So just because it feels like it's happening now or somewhere in your immediate life, that doesn't mean that it's not coming from an area further back. And that vibration, it's just like the light of a dying star. The star is dead, but the vibration is still coming. And so we are seeing the element of a past life that sends out a vibration to the very soul that is living. So in other words, the energy of that past life is sending out a light through time and space and then connecting to the source. The living source, which happens to be the soul within the person.
Right.
And now you get a vibrational pull into your chakra.
So that can be a good thing, and it can also be a bad thing, because if we activate a past life energy that's negative, you know, because of our actions in the current lifetime, then you can, you know, end up dying.
Well, hopefully, you know, I mean
at the worst,
who predicted their own deaths. Even Mark Twain said, I'm going to die when Halley's Comet comes. You know, he was an extraordinary past life individual. He also wrote a lot of works that people aren't familiar with, like The Mysterious Stranger, and he wrote about visiting heaven and looking at the astral realm up there. He was quite a guy. But aside from that, when we get into the idea of a past life energy, and that energy is contained in our body, whether we believe in it or not, our bodies are going to experience weird things. So everyone, whether you're a believer in this or whether you're an atheist, everyone seems to have some kind of experience where something weird happened. Most people do. And some people just say, well, it was weird, you know. Some people will say, well, we believe it wasn't just weird. It's connected to a concept or to a belief pattern we have. So when that energy hits us, when we are getting a vibrational feeling from a past life energy that is really contained in our soul, the feeling is really coming from within, not without.
Right.
And we think it's coming from without, but
it's coming from within. So even when we are encountering people that were part of our past life history, this is a part of it. It's really not coming from that meeting, you know, it's coming from a soul energy,
well,
that recognition.
Yes, because the energy of the person that you might, in that case, the energy of the person you're dealing with, their energy goes inside you and hits a bell, rings a bell, rings something. So our soul is this vast environment of activities, events, occurrences that we are holding within our body. Now, some of us have a real strong destiny clause, and we kind of have a feeling that we know something's going to happen. We feel it. Some of us have an attitude that we have this great intuition that we know where we're not supposed to go. We have a good sense of that. All of this has to do with vibrational translation in the psyche, and that would come into the sixth chakra. Now, when we get into an idea of someone saying, you know, I really feel like I need to travel to this country or to this place. I really feel this need to live in this part of the country. That's a vibrational sensation in the first chakra, but it all has to do with the vibrational sensation of energy. A lot of our callers ask about relationships. Well, I don't know. Am I going to be in one? You know, or someone might say, you know what? I know who my soulmate is. I can feel them out there. That's a vibrational sensation in the second chakra. We have the content of this derived from past lives that we bring back into our current life, and we retain the memory of it. So we have a sort of mystic code that is contained in our soul. That is the only way we can put it in proper English is as a vibration, or in proper any language, is as, because a vibration is universal. There's no words to it. It's a feeling of such intensity that it elevates and activates our central nervous system, our brain waves, and it becomes a common experience. And that's why we don't have to put a language to it. So in that regard, when we talk about a vibrational energy, which is really the content, a vibration is a language. It's just not a spoken language. It's an energy language. And that is what we feel in our zones. So that's why it's best to be educated and to understand the areas of your body, just like you understand the areas of your interests, your hobbies. You separate your life into different categories of what you do. Your body is in different categories. It all works as a whole. But you have to understand that each chakra system in your body holds a vast amount of information that can be translated as vibrational energy.
Right. And so, you know, when you start to become more expert at vibrational energy, reading vibrational energy, that's when we get into the idea of being psychic, communicating with spirits, angels, guides. So, you know, obviously, because when you're communicating with the other side, it's not coming through in an actual language. It's translated to a language from a vibration. So
yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, when we become more in tune with our vibrational energy on a chakra level, each chakra, you know, we're attuned to that vibrational energy, we're going to become more psychic, more in tune with our past lives in an accurate way, because
yeah.
They can be very misleading too,
yes.
In terms of, you know, fantasy and
some of us have
things
a calling
like that.
You know, but we misuse that word calling. A calling is really that there's something addressing us from outside of us. It's a call. It's a shout. Sometimes it's a shout that was established on the astral plane that a certain person would come down and be a healer or be a reader. That's where they elevated to. And so that essence of being a reader or a healer or somebody who's very intuitive or psychic, this comes not from a particular lifetime. It's usually being carried over from another calling that we had
right.
Previously.
But I'm not suggesting that everyone should be a healer or a psychic, but I think that if people are more in tune with their chakra system with vibration, then there's going to be a better chance of understanding the self and your place in the universe and eventually getting out of the body ultimately, because that's the goal. I mean, you know, coming back isn't what most people want to do.
Well, not
or
ideally.
Most souls
not
want
once
to do,
you
I
start
say.
You finally start to get into a higher sense of being, and then you realize that the idea is to release yourself from the planet, not to keep coming back to it until you're pure soul and spirit and no longer having a body to contend with. But this brings up an interesting point about the plug. Where does the plug occur? If you want to start something, you plug it into the wall. If you want to start your life on a vibrational system of content that seems to be secure, you want to feel, first of all, that you know and understand your first chakra. Now, that was one of the calls that Candace gave.
Yeah, she's still listening, actually.
In terms of, I kind of knew what I wanted to do, but I had to take care of some family things. You know, I got pushed out of whack. That's first chakra. So once the first chakra is established and a person can say to themselves, I know who I am, I'm secure in my grounding, then you know that your first chakra is plugged in. So the more groundwork you have, the more foundation you have in your first chakra, or even if there is turmoil in that theme, a family or whatever, but you're stable, it's not disrupting.
Well, family
your life.
Is also, I mean, it's first and second chakra.
First and second. Give me a second and I'll find my tongue.
Find some herbs and spices.
Yeah. The idea, but you see, the first chakra is mostly about security and foundation.
Foundation, home.
So then as it moves into the second chakra, that can have a different theme going on. But our grounding, our the basis of who we are and how well we know ourselves on a ground level, that's when we know we are plugged into that first chakra. And if we're plugged into that, we're going to be able to read any kind of vibrational sensation coming to us. Because usually vibrational energy is mostly connected to two grounds, the first chakra, which is the ground chakra, and the sixth, which is the third eye. Those two, they're separated by five chakras.
Right.
But five chakras.
And interestingly... Interestingly, Candace, who we're talking about, is born 10-5, which is a 6. So there's that first chakra, and there, of course, the fifth chakra is there too. But in the combination, there's the sixth chakra.
There is a sixth chakra. Well, I got to correct that. They're separated by four chakras, 2, 3, 4, 5. So there's
right,
a separation.
Right, 6 minus 1 is 5, but there's 4.
Yeah.
You're right.
But, so there's 4 chakras, which is balance. That theme is balance. So you want to find in your life a perfect, beautiful balance between your foundation at any given moment in time, your security and your foundation, and your insight and your foresight and your dreams and your passions. As soon as a human being says, well, you know, I don't really know what I want to do and I'm not really sure about this, it doesn't mean you're a bad person. It just means you don't have a secure grounding and you don't have a secure relationship between the
first and sixth chakra.
Chakra,
because the vision isn't there. Regarding past lives, and I think we have another caller, and we're supposed to be ending the show like now. Do you want to take the other caller?
The caller? We'll continue this.
We'll continue on Wednesday because
we'll give them 4 minutes.
Yeah, we'll give them four minutes. But you know, in discussing past lives, maybe we can talk about how to start recognizing past lives and exploring that on your own. I think it's difficult because people can be subject to delusions and fantasies about what their past lives were. I mean, we hear all kinds of stuff about people being Cleopatra or, you know, so on and so forth, which is, you know, we lost our caller, actually.
Okay.
We lost our caller. But anyway, I think what we'll do is continue on
I think
Wednesday.
We lost our caller because Julius Caesar was calling.
No. Maybe.
But the idea of, that we, you know, and we want to emphasize the idea of what a pure vibration is, because, you know, people usually say, you know, I'm getting a good vibe about this, or according to my vibration. The depth of what a vibration is really, we have to correct ourselves. It's really more than a feeling or a sensation. A vibration is a language.
Well, I think we did say that.
Yeah, but I we might have said it, but it's still somewhat, even that terminology is somewhat misleading, because when we talk about a language of a vibration, we're not really talking about a spoken tongue.
Right, but there's an intricacy beyond just a good vibe in a vibration.
There is. What we're getting into in terms of vibration is we're getting into a higher concept, which is omniscience, all-knowing. This idea of being all-knowing, the closer we get outside of our body, the closer we get to the astral realm, the closer we get to the content of the soul and the spirit, the closer we get to the idea of what omniscience really is. There are some of us who can maintain a sense of all-knowingness to some degree within the body, and we can do it in our conscious states. Others of us have to kind of leave the body through astral projecting or having a dream or a vision or going into a, quote, meditation of some sort to try to understand how to get out of the noise and the white noise and the internal noise of the body so we can clearly hear the fabric of silence. And in the fabric of silence, we start to hear a language.
Should I play Simon and Garfunkel right now?
No,
sound of silence.
Yeah.
Okay, so we will be back on the air on Wednesday. I think we're wrapping up now. Anything you want to say?
Nope, that's about it.
All right, okay. So we will be back on the air on Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern. Thanks, everybody.